Right, shall we get into the Bible? Yeah, let's do it. Genesis chapter 21. If you can turn to Genesis chapter 21, and I'm going to read it. If you read it in your phone or something like that, or it's going to go up there. And this is from the NLT version of the Bible I'm reading it from. And this morning, just so you know, what my goal is that from this morning is to break fear and cynicism in our lives and build faith that God is going to do what he said he'll do. Amen? You can tell me at the end if I managed to do that or God manages to do that, but that's where we're going. Genesis chapter 21, the birth of Isaac. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time that God said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham was circumcised. Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And Sarah declared, "God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me." Who would have thought, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a baby? Yet I have given Abraham a son in his old age. And so what we're doing, we're just going through this, the story of Genesis, and it's the story of how God goes ahead of us, and God is promising things, and God, but he's requiring something of us. He's requiring a response from us. God is promising things into your life. He is promising, trust me, he's promising things into your life, but we don't need to be passive about it. And so I just want to ask the question this morning, what are some of the things that caused Abraham and Sarah to like recoil and think, no, it's not going to happen? And how did they turn it around and step into all that God had got for them? Can anybody tell me what were some of the things that God had promised to Abraham? Genuine question. He promised them a son. Absolutely. Land. He promised him land. He'd go into Canaan. Yeah, but I'm not sure if he... But he will. He'll comfort them. Yeah? So a son, land, many nations. You were just about to say something, weren't you? Oh, right. Anything else? As many descendants as the stars in the sky. Anything else? God promised Abraham that I'm going to bless you so that you're going to be a blessing to many people. Okay, so just go over to Genesis chapter 17. We're just going to recap what are the promises. Here we go. God's promises to Abraham and Sarah. And what I've done is, it's Genesis 17, so it's not the actual verses we're going from, but I've highlighted the promises that God made to Abraham in yellow. And we'll read it. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai." We sang a song earlier, didn't we, that had all these different names of the Lord. I'd encourage you to go back and think, what are all these names? What are all the different names? But El Shaddai, it means God Almighty. "Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life, and I'll make a covenant with you, Abraham, by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants." Many, many descendants. At this, Abraham fell down on the ground. Then God said to him, "This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations." Many, many different nations. I would, at some point, we're going to do this poll. How many nations are in the room? How many different nations? There's quite a lot. There's quite a lot of different nations. Absolute joy. Verse 5. "What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be you will no longer be Abram. Instead, you'll be called Abraham, for you'll be the father of many nations." Next promise. "I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give you the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. It's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely phenomenal. If God made those promises over us, I'd be thinking, yes, come on! There was only one problem. There was absolutely no evidence of it whatsoever. Oh. Oh. All right. Is this just one of those other moments when I'm promised the world and nothing happens? No evidence of it. They were just wandering around like foreigners, being kicked from pillar to post. They couldn't have children. How on earth were they going to be the father of like thousands and thousands of... They couldn't have children. It was impossible. They were past... Not only could they not have children, they were well past the age of being able to have children. And they'd lived with this promise that God was going to do something, but they could not see it. There's no evidence. What were Abraham and Sarah like? Can you just go on to the next slide? These are actual photographs of Abraham and Sarah. I just Googled old Middle Eastern people. But it's quite fun to see a picture of, this is what they could have looked like. What were they like as characters? What was their personality? It's an interesting question. Can somebody tell me, what do you think they were like? Yeah, okay, let's try and do a poll. What do you think they were like? What is there some biblical evidence of what they were like? Obedient. Okay, they were obedient, yeah? Yeah? Patient. Deborah, what were you saying?
Male and female.
Well, male and female. Okay, let's get this one out. Okay, they were alive, they were male and female. Then they were old, yes. They were alive, male and female, and old. Anything? What about their character? You said they were obedient. Yeah. Yep. Anything else? They were faithful.
Patient.
Hardworking. Hardworking. What were you saying, Dennis?
They're using a stick because they're old.
Using a stick because they're older.
They understood humor.
They understood humor? How do you know that from the
from the laughter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Everything that we've said is really positive. Really positive, yeah? They're good. It's good things. Sarah could be nasty. She could be vindictive. She could be jealous. She could be scheming and manipulative. And what about Abraham? Sorry? He was sometimes overly passive. What did you say? He followed orders.
Yeah.
Well, okay, it's the same. Yeah? He was what? He was a simple person. Did you know that he lied? Sorry, go on. He was a liar. He lied. Twice. His wife was standing next to him, and somebody came and said, oh, it's really attractive. What did Abraham say? Oh, it's just my sister. Why? Why did he say that? He wanted to protect himself. Because he thought his wife was so attractive that these people might kill him so that they can marry his wife. So he just lied. I'm not sure Jill would be so happy if I did that. Just lie to save your own skin. I mean, the thing is that these people... What I'm trying to say is that all of those positive things about Abraham and Sarah are true. But they were not perfect people. They were broken and they were flawed people. But God still spoke promises over them. Despite the fact that they were lying, manipulative, scheming, nasty people at times. But God still spoke promises over them because despite that, they loved the Lord. Now, just put your hands up. If you have ever spoken a lie, schemed, manipulated, or be nasty, and at the same time, you love the Lord. You don't have to be quite so vehement. But somebody's going, yes, that's me! No, no, no. But the truth is that that is who we are. We are broken and flawed individuals, but God still chooses to speak promises over our lives. He still does it. He doesn't like it when we do all of those things, and he brings us to a place of repentance and brokenness, and he shows us a better way. But that does not discount us. What discounts us is when we do all of those things and we say, it doesn't matter, I don't care. No, they were broken, they were flawed. They think, no, God, please forgive me. Take me beyond that. Now, the extraordinary thing is that they were like that. But did you know that every single one of the promises that God spoke to Abraham and Sarah, do you know who they apply to today? Us. How do I know that? I don't know. Have I got that verse up? Yeah, there you go. Now, you that belong to Christ, you are the true we. Let's put it in the first person. Now, us who belong to Christ, we are the true children of Abraham. We are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to us. All of those things that God promised Abraham and Sarah, he's speaking those promises over us. And what he wants us to do today is to respond to those promises with faith. God promises to bless you so that you'll be a blessing. To Nigeria. To Mauritius. To Malta. To the Philippines. To London. To Iran. To Graham Park. Call out the country you want it really to say. Zambia. Anywhere else?
Uganda.
Jamaica. Afghanistan. Zimbabwe. God, South Africa. God is going to bless you that you would be a blessing to those places, to the city of London, to Graham Park. God promises that you will have a legacy of countless descendants, men and women for hundreds of years who will love the Lord. And we're not just talking about natural children. We're not talking about that. But God is talking about, it may be natural children, but it may be supernatural children. That God is causing you to live your life in such a way that for generations and generations to come, there'll be men and women and young people who will love Jesus with all their heart, soul, and mind. Did you know that that can be true? And you think, no, thanks very much, Duncan, but I'm just living my life. I'm just trying to sort of like go to work and not get really angry or apex corner. That's what I'm trying to do. But God is saying, no, I've got something better for you than that. I've got promises that you will have a legacy that will go on for generations and generations. God is promising that you will be fruitful. And what he's asking you, saying, I want us to see, God has promised that I will be fruitful. I will be fruitful in the kingdom of God. God is promising that he will never leave you. God is promising that he will give you, what he promised to the Israelites, he said, I'm going to give you a land, I'm going to give you Canaan. And I think that God is saying, I am going to give you an eternal home, that when you die, you're going to come and be with me forever, and it's going to be amazing. But as I was preparing this, I thought, I feel prophetically, God is saying to some people, I'm going to give you a place where you will feel comfortable and at home. I'm just going to give you that place. In me, I'm promising that that is what I'm going to give you. I'm just going to pray for anyone. Does anybody feel that in a moment I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and then I'm just going to pray for you. But you feel you need a home. And what I mean is that you need somewhere where you just feel, oh, this is comfortable. I can thrive in this place. This is good. And it could be a geographical place, or it could be, you might be thinking, oh, I just need somewhere actually, to live, something like that. But if that is you, can I just ask you to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you that you would see the promises of God come true in your life. Is all right? Just put your hand up. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person with their hand raised that, Lord, you made promises for Abraham and Sarah. Lord, you promised them a land to live in, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where they could prosper, where they could thrive as individuals, as humans. And God, I pray for every single person that has their hand raised right now, that, Lord, you would come and speak your promises over them. And I pray supernaturally, would you please provide for them a place where they can prosper and where they can thrive, where they can feel, no, this is the goodness of God flowing over my life. And God, I pray supernaturally, break in, we ask, oh Lord. We're going to believe it. Amen. If something happens with that, please let me know, because it'd be really encouraging. Okay, so what are some of the ways that, next thing we've got is, how did Abraham and Sarah struggle to respond to the promises of a legacy? Well, the first thing is they just didn't believe it. They did not believe. Another month had gone past, and Sarah said, I'm not pregnant. And how many times do you have to go through that before you begin to think, I'm really sorry, God meant this in a different way. He must have meant it in a supernatural way, I think, but he certainly didn't mean it with a real physical baby. And you know, the thing is, I think after a while, just hope fades. The interesting thing is that they were full of faith, because when God called them to move, they moved, didn't they? But I think that was different, because for them to act faith in that, all they had to do is they had to like take down their tent, pack all their bags up and go. They could do it themselves. But if you can't conceive, there's not an awful, at this point in time in history, there wasn't an awful lot you could do, was there? You just think, again, it hasn't. You couldn't do that. And so when they could orchestrate things themselves, they could have moved, but actually they can't orchestrate it so that Sarah could conceive. But God told them that they were going to have a son. And in Genesis 17, verse 17, it said this: Abraham did what? He just laughed. Yeah, right. I don't think that's going to happen, Sarah. Look at us. We're old. We're decrepit. Genesis 17, verse 17 said, Abraham laughed to himself in disbelief. How can I become a father at the age of 100? And in the next chapter, chapter 18, what did Sarah do? She laughed as well. I don't think it was a joyful laugh, if I'm really honest. I think it was a cynical, disbelieving, fed-up laugh. How could this ever happen? Genesis 18, 12 says this. Sarah laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such a pleasure? Especially when my husband is also so old. You just think after a while, they must have become a bit cynical, mustn't they? It must have happened. It's never going to happen. I don't know what God was playing at. Did we mishear him? I don't know what it was. All this nonsense about descendants, you know, giving us a land. Thanks a lot. How many of us have had friends who felt God spoke promises over them and have then become cynical? I have. Jill and I have some good friends, you know, and they were going for God, and actually, in the end, they just became cynical. And it was really hard being around them, because they just said it's nonsense. And the longer it went on, the more cynical they became. Just nonsense. God's never going to do anything like that. And when God says, I'm never going to forsake you, I'm never going to leave you, hands up if you've ever felt a little bit fed up with that statement. When everything around you is going, what on earth? I just don't believe you, God, actually. I feel abandoned. You've left me. Look at those people there. It all just looks absolutely amazing. What they're doing, yeah, great, great, great for them. Thank you very much. But what about me, God? It's not working for me. And Abraham and Sarah, they absolutely must have felt abandoned. And hope, which is dashed, is awful. Have you ever thought, do you know what? I think God wants to use them, but I don't think God ever wants to use me. Have you ever thought that? Can I just let you know, if you ever think that, that is unbiblical and untrue. It's just not true. But it requires a response from us. And then the other thing that I think, they just didn't believe it. And then it said, when God said to Sarah, Sarah, you laughed, didn't she? Didn't you? And it says, Sarah became afraid. And she said, no, I didn't. She just became really, really fearful. She was afraid. It's too risky. Can I just ask? You don't have to, I'm not asking for, this is a rhetorical question. Has anybody ever said anything to you in your family, in your, like in a work meeting, or I don't know, or something, and they've spoken stuff into you that has been so negative, you've just, after that, you've become really fearful. And then you're thinking, well, I am never going to make a suggestion at work again, because I've just been made to look so stupid. And fear comes in. And fear breaks in. And you think, that's it. I'm not doing that again. Or maybe you've stood up and you think, I feel God is saying this to me. And yet nothing happens. And then you just, and fear breaks in. There was something, you know, particular about, you know, words that have been spoken. And again, actually, no, I did. Let's go. I would like to ask for a response in a moment. I'm just going to ask you in a moment to raise your hand if you feel that some things have been spoken into your life. And you, when I say that now, you can immediately think of specific moments when that was said into your life. And that has caused you to become fearful. Now, the reason I'm saying about specific, because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to come and minister into our lives, to move us beyond fear. And sometimes we can feel generally condemned, generally feel rubbish. That tends to be Satan just trying to condemn us. But when we ask God to break through in fear, he'll give us specific moments. And I remember, like, just so you know, to let you know, I remember as a kid, you know, I went to boarding school, which by and large was quite fun, quite enjoyed it. But I remember hearing these two boys like speaking about me in the middle of the night, you know, and they were just, it was awful what they were saying. You know, they're saying, well, Duncan knows that everybody hates him. And, you know, all of those sorts of things. It was like, it was brutal, you know. And for years, it just made me fearful, you know. And I just had to, I remember at some point I just gave it to God and I said, God, you've got to deal with that. I know it's not true. Well, it might be, and I don't actually care. But, you know, like, but but that's holding me back. I've become fearful because of these things that, you know, things that have spoken into my life. And I just thought, no, God, you've got to come and break into that. And thank the Lord he did years ago. You just think, you know, you feel released from it. But Satan wants to bind you up. So can I just ask now, are there people here, if you put your hand up, if you know there have been specific things that have been spoken into your life that have caused you to be fearful, just put your hand up. Okay, can you keep your hand up for a moment? And I'm just going to pray the freedom of the Lord into your life, you know? The freedom and the goodness of the living God. And if you suddenly think, oh, I do something and you want to put your hand up halfway through, just fine, just do it. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you broke, Lord, the curse of death. I thank you, Lord, that you were in a tomb, but you came back to life again through the power of the Holy Spirit. You defeated death. And we now come against the power of these words that have been spoken into these dear people's lives that has caused fear to rise up within you. And right now we come in the full authority of Jesus Christ and we break that hold over your life. And we say, no longer be held by those words. No longer held back in fear. And just in your mind, just say, I forgive the person that spoke those words. I forgive them for speaking those words. And we give those words to you, O Lord, right now. And we say, would you please come and break fear? Break fear, Lord. I want to ask, Lord, that the words that were spoken over that have caused fear, I pray that the tape or the recording of those words would be erased. I pray that you would erase those words, that we would no longer hear them being spoken into our lives. And I pray that instead they would be replaced by the voice of you, Heavenly Father, saying, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to the nations. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing to the nations. I'm going to send you the link for the talk at Resonate that Amy Hughes gave about fear and breaking fear. Can you just bear with me one moment? I need to slightly adapt what I'm saying because it's slightly running out of time. Okay, we'll move on. So how do we respond to God's promises? If God has spoken over you, the first thing is to do to live a life of obedience. The first thing when God spoke these promises over Abraham, he said, the first thing I want you to do, Abraham, is I want you to go and circumcise all the males in the family. We're not going to go into this in great detail, and I'm not going to explain what a circumcision is. It's a slightly odd one. It's a slightly embarrassing one. But all I'm going to say is this, that it's a permanent mark. It's usually hidden, and it's to do with legacy. But God said to Abraham, I want you to go and I want you to do this. And I want you to go and live differently. And I think there is something about if we want to step into the promises that God has for us, we have to live our lives differently. There is a call on God for us to live holy lives before him. If you're not a Christian, you live to please basically yourself, your family and your friends. If you are a Christian, you live to please Jesus. It's a big difference. And it means that we will live our lives very, very differently. And there may be, okay, I'm just going to read this verse. Sorry, go back. So, thanks, Kieran. Philippians 2, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. We are called to live differently, brothers and sisters. We are called to live not like the world, but very, very differently. And if the Lord pinpoints something in your life and you're thinking, I need to change how I do that, then I just encourage you. If you want to see the fulfillment of God's promises in your life, make the change. Live differently. Do something that is different in how you're living your life. The second way that I think we need to recognize the fulfillment of God's promises is to recognize that sometimes pain and suffering is part of the world and is part of our journey and part of our discipleship with Jesus. You know, we do sometimes want our lives to be plain and straightforward and easy. You know, that's what we want. But actually what happened for Abraham and Sarah, it was filled with pain and it was filled with suffering. And Sarah's childlessness was brutal and it was painful. And they had a very complicated family life. You just read through Genesis and think, oh, this is messy. It was hugely messy. And all the different things with all the sort of like different family members, it was very, you might think you've got a complicated family life. Okay, read Genesis. It was hugely, bizarrely messy and complicated. And there were long, long periods of waiting. And there were long periods of suffering. And for Abraham and Sarah, pain and suffering were part of the process because I believe that sometimes God has our attention far more when we're going through difficult times of pain and suffering than when everything is going really easily. We do not go searching for it, trust me, But it is an important... If we assume that if we become Christians, our lives will just be perfect and plain sailing, guess what? We will give up very, very quickly. Just read the first few book, the first few chapters of 2 Corinthians. Paul is just saying, look, it's a nightmare. This is really, really difficult. But God's called us on to something. And if we just say, no, God, you have to make my life happy and perfect. It's nonsense. That is not Christianity. You got involved in something completely differently. Because if you give your life to Christ, often it'll be harder and it'll be painful and it'll be full of suffering. And if you're not really sure, if you don't really believe that what I'm saying is true, let me read Romans 8, verse 17. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in what? His suffering. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Amen. Oh, sorry, the next verse says, I forgot to read it. And I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. God has a promise for you that he is never going to waste a crisis. He's never going to waste a crisis. Even this morning, I'm just hearing about, you know, what's going on in the Middle East. You know, this is a crisis. It's very real for some people. God is never going to waste a crisis. God's got these promises over us. And he's asking us, probably more in the difficult moment, to trust him and say, God, I'm going to trust in you. I am going to trust in you. And then the last thing I think that Abraham and Sarah responded to was faith. They just believed that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. They chose to believe it against all the evidence. Why did they believe? Because they were friends with God and they knew what God was like. They'd done enough time with him. They thought, I don't really know how, but God's going to come through. When Isaac, you know, this son that they'd been longed for and promised, and God told Abraham, okay, I want you to put Isaac on an altar. He said, God, I don't know what you're doing. I have no idea. I think you're asking me to do this, and I think you're going to raise Isaac back from the dead. And there's this incredible story of a substitute came in and took it. And that's an Easter story, and we're going to look at that at Easter. But the substitute came in, but God made a way. God made a way, but he just believed. Did you know, on the 11th of April 2004, we had our first church service as what was always now Trinity Church, over at Watling Community Centre. So that is like 22 years ago? Nearly 22 years ago, first service. God spoke promises, you know, God spoke promises into my life and into this church on that Sunday that I am still going to live and die for, but I haven't seen them come to fruition yet. I'm just going to hold on. I know God's going to do it. He's going to come through. He will do it at some point. And I'm going to lean into those promises. And I'm going to do whatever I can, not to make it happen, but God, you're going to make a way. I'm going to be sensitive to you. I'm going to listen to you. But you are going to make a way. Every day I pray, I thank God for provision that is sparked by faith. All the stuff with the spar, I've really liked it. Because he said, God, we've got to lean on you. You've got to do it. Somehow you're going to do it. If we're going to pray now, just so you know, Morgan Sindall, the building company that said, oh, they couldn't help, they've now come back and said, oh, yeah, we can help you. I'm just praying that God's going to provide a salary for somebody to run that centre. You know, because it's great to have a good centre, but now we need to have somebody that runs it. Really. But I'm just believing God's going to do it. God is going to bless us to make us a blessing. God is going to give us a legacy of countless people. God is going to make you fruitful. He's never going to leave you. He's going to give you a home. Can you stand up, please? And I'm going to finish there. Holy Spirit, I wonder if the band could come back. And we are just going to take a moment. We've got 7 or 8 minutes or so. And then at 15:15, we'll just finish wherever we're at. But I just feel the Lord really wants to come and minister into our lives. I feel the Lord wants to very graciously help those of us who have become fearful or cynical of God's work. And I'm just going to pray for God's Spirit to come. And what I want to do is, again, I know I've asked people to put your hands up a lot. I don't want it to be like school. But I think sometimes there is a, when we respond, and it takes some courage to respond, we're putting ourselves on the line and we're saying, God, I'm going to trust you. And whereas before we prayed specifically about words that were spoken into our lives, if you feel that actually you are tired of being afraid, and you've just noticed that you've become cynical about what God is doing, I'm going to keep my eyes closed, but I want you to raise your hand. And I'm going to pray for the Spirit of God to fall on you, that you would no longer be afraid because you know who the Lord is. Because you lean into his character and you lean into who he is and you lean into what is written in Scripture. You know him. You are friends with him. And so, Heavenly Father, I want to ask, Lord, for a greater revelation for everybody whose hand is raised now, who is tired of being afraid, who wants to respond to you, who has noticed cynicism creeping into their lives. God, I pray that out of the basis of our friendship with you, I pray that you would just deal with fear right now, that faith would become established again, that we would trust in you. I come against fear that binds up. I come against fear that just debilitates us. And we say no. The Lord loves you. And the second of three things that I just want to pray for is, if God's calling you to change the way that you live or to change the way that you spend your money or to change what's on your internet search history, if you've been caught in pornography or... But God is just putting a finger onto your life right now and pinpointing something, and you just need to know that God deals with shame and he's going to break into your life. And if there is an area of your life that you know that you need to change, I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd give every single person now, Lord, the strength that comes from the Spirit of God to go and implement change. Lord, we want to respond to your promises by living obedient lives. Well, God, I thank you that you are kind, Lord. You transform us bit by bit, and I pray, Lord, that you change us now. I pray for breakthrough in that area. And then just lastly, I want to ask, Lord, would you give us greater faith in the promises that you've spoken over our lives. God is calling us as a company of people, as a group of friends, as a church, to be blessed, to be a blessing. to have a legacy of hundreds and thousands of people throughout many generations who love the Lord. So Holy Spirit, I say, come. Let faith arise for what you've spoken over us, Lord.